Fit more of what you love into the new Tiguan all-space 7-seat SUV at Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranella.
Great to have your company, Adelaide, on 2K Tuesday. That's right, $2,000 up for grabs in the quiz with no name. Thanks to Automasters coming up in about 15 minutes' time. Well, as I look across the desk and I look at North Adelaide royalty, but it must be with a little bit bittersweet. Given what happened last night, Sandford Tribunal has ruled against Woodville, against the Eagles. They will not take place in the grand final. It will be a Norwood, North Adelaide grand final, which must leave the great man I sit next to a little divided. Welcome, Juice.
G'day, Adelaide. G'day, Louie. Good to be here. And obviously, a very tough decision. A big pill to swallow for the Eagles Football Club and their supporters and their players. We'll catch up with Mickey Godden to have a chat to him and see how he's coping. But, yeah, look, mixed feelings, to be quite honest with you, Lou.
I was going to say,
I'm mixed feelings at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't think the fact that the AFL ran it through their system and came out with a different result.
Yes.
Doesn't sit well with me. It's almost like it's almost a little bit scaremongering. Hey, let's just throw that out there.
Yep.
Because that's no resolution for the Eagles fans.
Not at all.
Just because in the AFL system it would have worked. A real tough one. Jake Parkinson from the Sandful coming up next to talk about what happened last night. Almost 5 hours.
Yes.
A long time.
So what's that? $10,000 fine to the North LA Football Club.
And 4 premiership points.
In
grossly negligent was the finding.
Yeah, okay.
And the laws and the Constitution don't allow anything else to happen in terms of the overtake. But we'll find out a little bit more about that. Paul Roos will join us today. Roosie?
Well, he might be a bit under the weather, our boy Paul.
Could well be. And with the disturbing news that his wife Tammy was involved in a wet T-shirt competition on the Gold Coast.
No way.
Which, I mean, hands up if you've been in one of those before.
No, I haven't.
It can easily happen up there. Just think, Coach, Gatorade, shower, Tammy Roos,
Sun winning grand final.
Yeah, it's a lot of things to go on. Mick Godden, as you said, is going to join us and give us how the Eagles are feeling today. He's got some really good points to be made about what happened and the intangibles, the things you can't put out in front of a tribunal jars. All right, Stifle Soft's there as well.
And anger issues.
Have I'm doing anyone else do this. Something happened, City Bay.
You're dealing with some stuff? Because you've mellowed a fair bit.
I have a bit. It's good.
Oh, no.
In one way, it's nice to know I've still got the fire.
Oh, no. He's gone.
On the other side, it's probably not a great example I'm setting for my kids. That's all I'll say
now. We'll talk about that.
And A-League Entertainment, they're going to try some
What's
stuff.
What's happened?
More than fireworks.
Well, I thought we got Usain Bolt.
No. More here. Let's get it on. All right. Yeah. Big show. Jake Parkinson of the Sandful coming up to explain what took place last night. Just repeating, North Adelaide will play Norwood in the grand final this Sunday. Well, Jars and family, an unprecedented 24 hours in Sandful football history. We have seen a judicial hearing as to the validity of a win in a prelim final being questioned, and joining us now to try and make sense of the whole goddamn thing. And they used to say a week's a long time in footy. Jake Parkinson, the CEO of the Sandful, I reckon 24 hours or a weekend's a real long time in Sandful footy.
Yeah, hi, Louis Jars. Yes, it has been a very big 24 hours and an unprecedented 24 hours in Sandful footy, and one that we now look forward to a grand final on Sunday.
A lot of people, Jake, are sort of trying to get as much information as possible and say, right, how do we get to this point? We know the technicality of the law is that the old rule says the captain has to call for their head count. Obviously, I suppose, firstly, will that be looked at and as a change in the Constitution so it doesn't have to go down that path again?
Yeah, look, that's part of the rules of the game or laws of the game of Australian football. And that the custodian of those is obviously the AFL. We've had very preliminary discussions with the AFL. It's something that they will review along with ourselves. You're probably aware as well that the NEAFL had an incident of 19 men on the ground for a grand final on the weekend. So very topical at the moment. And look, footy is very fast moving. And we've seen throughout this season people talking about rules and regulations and whether they should be changed. I think this is a pretty obvious area where we're going to need to look at the regulation or the laws of the game and make adjustment.
Jake, do you feel that the integrity of the game has been compromised with what's happened?
No, I don't, because we've gone through a very thorough process. And what is important in integrity is that you follow your rules and regulations and that you do that to the letter of those rules and regulations and the laws. And that's exactly what we did. We can only be governed by the regulations that are there. And in doing that, we had a very significantly qualified person in the Honourable Michael David, former Supreme Court judge who presided over it as a tribunal member, and we had some significant legal minds thinking about it and arguing the case. Both clubs got to bring their cases to the table and did so in a very professional manner, and they were well heard and a decision was made.
Jake, some say that the competition, and whether it be the tribunal or the commission in particular, took the easy way out with a fine and then a penalty for next year, as opposed to making the big call, which, just as a matter of fact, the AFL have said when they workshopped it through their rules, it would have seen the Eagles go through to the grand final. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, again, within the regulations of Sandford, a commissioner can refer a charge to the tribunal. And so that's what happened. The commission met and referred the charge to a tribunal. Again, as I mentioned, within that was following due process. With regards to the AFL, going through this process live, what became very, very clear is that these types of situations are something unique, and you need to be able to hear the sides of both clubs. And I've said it a few times today, the football is full of fantastic people. And at the same time, people make mistakes. And in the case of North Adelaide Football Club, it was quite clear that this was an unintended act and quite accidental. Now, it is a breach, and they breached the laws of the game and have been sanctioned as such. But, you know, it's something that we'll just have to go back and review.
So, Jake, just to follow up on that, why didn't the tribunal find that, just wipe the score for the time the 19 were on? Everybody's of the understanding, and everyone thinks, no, they didn't do it on purpose. So there was no intent, but it happened. And because we have the technology and the ability to know at what period of time that person came off the ground and to have the extra advantage, why not just wipe the score at that point in time and then go with what the result is after that?
Again, it comes down to the laws of the game. The laws of the game, as they stand at the present moment, are that they require the captain to call a count. What we now know is, had that count taken place, there were 19 players on the field, and if that had been the case, well, then we would have acted under the laws of the game. The reality was that we were now looking at the game on a Sunday night and Monday morning, rather than during the actual game, and we have to deal in the rules and regulations when that's the case.
Jake, a fair outcome would have been to replay the match. Was that considered?
Yeah, that was something discussed by the tribunal as something they considered to be fair, and that was unable to be done because it was not an action able to be taken under the regulations of the league.
Right. And last one for you, Jake, and we really appreciate your time. It's been an exhausting couple of days for you. It's ironic that the onus of proof rests with the person that's been wronged, and that is the Eagles. So surely when we come to rewriting this rule, it's got to be able to be in favour, or at least be fair and even to the two competing teams.
Yeah. Look, there are... words from me are probably not going to be much solace for the faithful of the Woodville West Saracens Football Club. I know that they will be hurting. There's a group of players there who I can't even begin to put myself in their shoes. A coaching team, an administration have all put in an extraordinary amount of effort. And to lose any preliminary final is devastating. And then the way in which this has happened, I'm sure, has particularly hurt. So as we do review this regulation, will need to take account for that. At the same time, we've got a Norwood Football Club as the other grand finalist who's sitting there with their own supporter base of work, which we need to consider as well.
And
that was a consideration in us taking very quick action on it. I know that people were waiting for the final outcome, but when we're pulling together a commission meeting, a tribunal, getting counsel, and having clubs enough time to be able to argue their case, to have that done in 24 hours was a challenge, and I think both clubs acquitted themselves exceedingly well to that matter.
All right, Jake, thank you so much for your time. Let's hope that we don't get any controversy next Sunday. Triple M Rock and Footy, of course, too, Jars. So we can't wait to see the Roosters take on the Redlegs, because now man Jars is going to be conflicted. Thanks, Jake.
See you, Jake.
Thanks very much. Look forward to seeing everyone out there.
There is the CEO of the SANFL, Jake Parkinson, shedding a bit of light on what's been a real difficult 48 hours. 133353, family, Twitter as well, get involved. $10,000 fine, 4 points. Did they get it right?
And do the Eagles deserve a financial compensation? Do they deserve?
I think that's an absolute.
Well,
that's an absolute coming. But did they get the call right? Did the tribunal? Should the commission have done it themselves? So many questions still. Oh,
keep going, Luke.
Are you happy with it? 10 grand and 4 points. This doesn't hurt anyone, does it? The Chooks, North Adelaide, have taken on Norwood. It's been ruled upon late last night. Marathon hearing got it to the point where the Roosters have lost 10K. They got a fine of 10,000 bucks and lost 4 points for the coming 2019 season. We've got some calls coming through, Jars.
Busy.
Rennie on Twitter, with all the technology watching games of footy, surely the Eagles would have known. Unfortunately, for unforeseen circumstances, they didn't ask for the player until he came off. And that's right. We're talking to Mick Godden later on.
Yeah.
It's not that simple. The confusion in the box. No one is thinking there is extra on the deck. And he talks about the intangibles. Don't miss our chat with Mick Godden just before we finish this hour
today. All right, mate. Paul of Gullar East. G'day, Paul.
How you going again, guys?
What's your take on it?
I'm nearly due for my own segment, aren't I?
You nearly are, Paul.
Proud of you, mate.
I'm really conflicted, mate. I'm a Rooster supporter, diehard member every year. And it's just a shame that it come to this. I see both sides and... We aren't cheats. We made a legitimate mistake. But the problem is now it's all been tainted because we're going to go to the footy. Our supporters are going to cop heaps. And if we win, we're just going to, it's going to be under a cloud of being called cheats. And I think it's just, I'm not even, I know we're in the grand final now, but I don't know how I feel about it anymore.
It's a really good point.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Tell you what I don't feel good about, and it's a question I should have asked Jake Parkinson. What accountability do they take? Their official is the one that screwed it up. Is that right?
It was a North Adelaide official.
Yeah, so and the three involved, basically, you have an interchange steward, you have the North Adelaide official.
Yeah, correct.
And you have, obviously, the Eagles. Yeah. And normally you've got to sign out or what's
when
happened.
The players are coming on and off, yeah.
And so, I mean, is there any accepting of error?
Well, we should have asked him.
Yeah, I just sort of it completely then, because at least that way then, if I'm an Eagles fan, I know the laws are against me.
Yeah, but...
But, and there's an apology at least coming from the boss.
You know, Neil of Henley Beach. G'day, Neil.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
What's your take, mate?
I reckon they should play the last quarter again. Same team as of last Sunday. Same three-quarter score. Bang, play it tonight. Best team wins. All over.
Yeah, but then you get compromised going in against Norwood, who you've played an extra quarter of footy. You've
and
got
when
no
do we,
emotion.
When will we play it, Neil? You know, do we play it tomorrow night at Fibby Oval or something?
No, it could be played tonight, you know, like a training drill. Yeah. Like 25 minutes, 30 minutes, done.
Wouldn't be the same, buddy. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I just think they probably should have replayed the whole game. But anyway, John of Athelstan. G'day, John.
Hello, guys. Yep. I thought, good conversation there earlier with Jake. He had some very valid points in regards to the rules and regulations. But I was just curious if following the rules and regulations and that was all clear, why in the end did North Adelaide cop a 10 grand fine and have been docked 4 points for next year? So if they follow, if there's nothing in breach of what's in the rules and regulations, why why do they cop a fine at the end of the day?
Yeah, it's a really good call because the judge's ruling was grossly negligent, and we put it to Jake that it was, you know, it's a bit of a cop out. It's just give him a fine and some points.
Because North admitted they broke the law and was found guilty of that. So they've admitted all that.
And where is there anywhere in the bylaws that says when you're guilty, that is that what you get, 10K and 4 points?
I didn't
is
see
that
anything.
Is it made up on the run?
I think it's probably made up on the run.
Good call.
Good on you, mate. Stevie of Port Adelaide. This is not our Stevie, the Richmond supporter.
No. Oh. I did follow Richmond last year when they when they knocked off the Tingles, though. That was a bit of fun.
Right, Steve, what's your make of this whole thing and the handing down of the penalty?
Look, like, I think they've got it completely right. You've got the rules. The rules are there just because... Just because North Adelaide broke the rules accidentally, however it may have been, you've then got a set of rules and regulations in place. Now, he was on the field for, what was it, 3 minutes and 39 seconds.
Yep.
How quick, with all the technology that they've got, who is sitting there going, hey, they're tearing us apart here, let's have a quick count. You get the runner out, the runner goes out to the captain, goes, hey, mate, make a call. Like, even if the guy on the sidelines, if you can't get that right, then... Get your own runner out to your captain and go, make a call. There's 19 there.
Like, Steve,
how hard is that?
I'll tell you how hard it is. It's bloody hard because sitting there trying to work it, because you're not expecting 19 to be out there, and I'm not putting words in Mick Godden's mouth, but he said as much in his bit in the paper today that it's the intangibles of the chaos in the box of him going to his assistants. Where the bloody hell is the extra man and who's on him? Mm-hmm. You then got the chaos on the bench talking to guys, who's down there, what's happening? And then you've got the impact of players playing going, why aren't you on him, Jars? Because that guy is loose and then sort of you're losing your focus because you're on something else that really shouldn't be an issue, which is an extra man.
Because that's the last thing you think is
going to happen.
I know it
sounds really simple to be able to do it all, but bloody hard from a box foot because you're not – because right now we're all in the mindset there was an extra.
Yeah.
But on the day, you're not looking for an extra.
For another player.
No one is looking for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, and to think with the way it was unfolding and the rush that was happening.
Yeah.
It takes a rare individual to sit there and go, hang on, have they got an extra one?
Yeah, correct. Because that's the last thing you go into a game thinking.
Yeah, because it's a joke. You say, felt like they had 20 out there.
Yeah, even though they still got 18.
But you're not thinking that. So that's why if everyone is going, oh, how hard is it?
Nah, it's hard.
It's bloody hard because you're not expecting
it's
it.
It's chaos in that box.
The Rush Hour's quiz with No Name. Thanks to Automasters.
Stuck in traffic? Check the service sticker on your windscreen. If it's overdue, call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money.
Stop press. It's 2K Tuesday.
Big money on a Tuesday here on the Rush Hour. $2,000 thanks to our very good friends, Automasters. Check the sticker on your window and get it in there and they'll take care of business for you. You and your car will be in love. You'll be in sync. All right, thanks to Automasters. Who's playing today, Jars?
Let's go to Michael of Windsor Gardens. G'day, Michael. Welcome on a Tuesday. $2,000, mate.
Thanks, boys. Gentlemen, how are we?
Good, Mick. Just quickly, your take. Sanford get the ruling right with the judiciary?
You'd have to say yes, but no. Same time. Okay. Well, I've got a foot in both camps.
Yeah, I would have went with Automasters and it would have been right.
You might have got to,
All right, 10 questions, 60 seconds, and Automasters up your sleeve to be used at your discretion and $2,000 on the line. Here's Jars with question number one.
Okay, Mickey boy, let's go. Who is playing in this weekend's Sample Grand Final?
Norwood and North.
How many 2019 Premiership points have North been docked for the 19th man incident?
Four.
Which AFL finalist does Jake Melchin play for?
Melbourne.
Who won the Davis Cup tie between Croatia and the US?
The US.
Okay. Is it still possible that Melbourne could play West Coast in an AFL Grand Final, yes or no?
No.
Who did the Boomers beat in Bendigo last night?
Kazakhstan.
Well done. Where are the Wallabies currently ranked in World Rugby standings?
Automasters.
Is Adelaide United still in the FFA Cup quarterfinals?
Yes.
Has Dusty Martin played more AFL games than Darren Robert Jarman?
No.
Which Melbourne player has a dad that used to be the GM of Triple M Adelaide?
Yeah. Oh, pass. Is that the last one?
Yeah, gotta go again.
Which Melbourne player?
Nah.
That's a crap question.
That is a tough question.
We've had a discussion before about crap questions.
Sorry, Mick.
It's a good question.
That's all right.
Oh, Mick,
Sean Craig Murphy writes them.
I tell you what, I know we're not supposed to dissect the quiz on air.
Well, we should.
We are. This question.
Which?
I tell you right now. Is it still possible? And we outlawed this last week.
But it worked yesterday, though.
Is it still possible that Melbourne could play West Coast in the AFL Grand Final? It's a dumbass statement designed to confuse the contestant. To then get them double thinking and waste valuable time.
And hesitate, question their ability.
But it worked yesterday. Remember,
the ACCC
are
going to look into us. I'm telling you right now, Murph, you've got to cut that out. I will apologise in advance, Michael. What's your one, Jas? Because we're not even going to go to
analysing now.
Nah.
Hang on.
Shut that down.
Yeah, okay. Consolation prize, mate. A family pass to the Sample Maccas League Grand Final this Sunday. The Sample Maccas League Grand Final. For tickets and info, head to sample.com.au. All
Jeez.
Yours.
Mick, I hope you don't barrack for the Eagles.
How are you? North, Eagles, Norwood?
I go for the Crows, man. So I don't really support the local stuff, unfortunately.
You should, mate. You should.
I should.
We really should hang up on you right now, Mick.
I'll go for North.
He's a Roosters boy, then.
All right, so Croatia beat USA in the Davis Cup. Yeah. So you got that one wrong. So that's why we didn't bother with the semantics. Automasters, the Wallabies are currently ranked 7th. Jars. That'd be currently, actually.
What about that last question? That
was Which Melbourne player has a dad that used to be the GM of Triple M Adelaide? And would it go for the Collingwood as well?
Yeah.
There's two of them.
Yeah, Gary Pert, wasn't it?
So Braden Maynard, Pete.
Pete Maynard.
Pete Maynard.
There's two Maynard
Played
boys.
One, Maynard.
One's at Melbourne, one's at Collingwood. Yeah. You can't even get your questions right.
No, played against Pete Maynard when he was at Glenelg.
I'll tell you what.
Outside mid.
Let's rule on that. And we should do that again. That quiz.
It's going to take 5 hours tonight to rule on that.
The commission will sit now. The commission of Jars and myself. We might have to do it.
Thanks to Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranulla.
Closer than you think. And right now, all the fuss is about the new Tiguan all-space seven-seat SUV. Do yourself a favour, Molly Meldrum. Get on down there and have a test drive of this thing. You'll love it. Customise the seating, 1 through 7. Everything folds down flat in the back. You can do it whatever you want in it. Go and see him at Southern Volkswagen. Up next, Mick Godden of the Eagles. We find out how he's feeling the day after the night that was on the rush hour. Righto, Jars. Time now to talk to the man, the vanquished, the coach of the Eagles, Mick Godden. Mick, welcome to the rush hour.
Thank you very much, guys.
Sad circumstances we're talking to you. Decision didn't go your way last night. Still standing by the fact you feel a little let down by the sample?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I think the loser always feels that way, and that's who we are at the moment. So I guess we felt we had a strong case, and we didn't think the game, I guess the result of the game was the right way. And, I've got a lot of players now feeling pretty bad about that, and our club that's feeling bad, but we've got to cop it.
So, Mick, what were your arguments? We spoke with Powley a little earlier in the day, suggesting it wasn't just that one point that everyone was pointing to, that the rule is that the captain must identify. What did the club put forth to try and sway the tribunal's decision?
Essentially, mate, we're just trying to establish what happened.
Yep.
And then, first of all, I guess the length of time that the knowledge, how long it took North to actually make it happen. I think that was predominantly the argument. As I said, I wasn't in there, but I know that there was some discrepancy about how long it took to make the change. And I think that with the fear, I suppose, of the one thing I do know is if you're caught with 19 men, your score gets wiped. I didn't know how it was supposed to happen, but I did know that that was the case. So I guess they would have had their, their concerns at that moment as well.
Mickey, has the reputation of the Sandful and its brand been damaged with this decision, do you think?
I think if you go by the groundswell of support for our footy club, then the argument would have to be yes. Because I think that what we expected to happen didn't happen. But, we live and die by a law in society, don't we? And that's what we've got to abide by.
Mick, there's no comfort in the fact that apparently the AFL workshopped it under their rules and would have come up with a result that would have seen you guys been given the right to play in the grand final. That's a little hollow victory, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess sitting at home last night waiting for the result as I was watching 360 and on the couch and hearing people in football saying that the result had to be swung our way, I did start to get a little smile on my face. I thought, well, if this is what the consensus is, and I'm not going mad, which is the first thing. And then second of all, I just thought that maybe I am preparing for a grand final. So I did feel confident at that point until the phone rang at about 11:30.
Mick, I find it hard to understand that you probably weren't called in there, because I read the piece in the Advertiser today about you talking about the intangible side of this, and that is the chaos that pervades in the box when you try and work out, God, who's the loose man and how is this happening? And then also you get a bit of carnage on the bench, but more importantly, on the field where momentum is shifting, you got players reacting to one another for perceived lack of effort or manning up. That's an intangible that wasn't measured and not bought into the argument, which I think is completely wrong, because you can't measure that.
Absolutely. And I think that's the area that, as you say, you can't, there's a measurable, which is obviously the time that the player was on the ground, and then and the immeasurable, which we just can't. I'm not sure how we can explain that. Yeah. And as I mentioned in a few articles, is I can only explain that from being a coach, and you guys have both been coaches. You have a very clear understanding of what I'm talking about. And momentum is a big thing. And people, I guess, from the North Adelaide side will just say we're whinging and I'm grasping at straws and I'm to blame, and that's fine. But I think we're bigger than that, and we understand that there are things that flow on from these situations.
Mick, reality is your boys gave up a 7-goal lead and should never have put yourself in that situation. Is that something now that you've got to sit down with your players and go through every second of that last quarter?
Absolutely agree. Yep, there's no doubt about that. And our third quarter wasn't great either. Must have been, we didn't kick straight. I think they kicked 5-1. I think we kicked 3-4. So I think it was something like that. We've had enough scoring shots to put that game to bed at three-quarter time, and we didn't do that. So we hold responsibility for those actions, there's no doubt. And, coughing up 7 goals in 10 minutes is unheard of for our footy club. So, as I said, there are some intangibles, but there's also some responsibility that needs to be held by myself.
Well, Mick, we really appreciate you taking time out to talk to us on what's probably still a very sour pill to swallow. I'm going to be a little cheeky here, mate, and ask for your tip.
Oh, no, Lou. He's at his 10th can.
Yeah, I think, I would be very rude and say I could not care. I'll be mowing lawns or something, but, yeah.
Sounds like Norwood to me. Oh, I'm glad you can laugh about it, Mick, because it's a tough one to swallow. Well done on the way you've conducted yourself in the footy club, and all the best to the boys.
Great. Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Mickey well Godden, coach of the Eagles.
Hey, Lou, look out, 2019 Eagles.
Absolutely. Oh, dear. Look out when Mick picks up the kids from school, I reckon, once he's done theirs. Yeah, big second here to come here on the Rush Hour. If you missed the big news from overnight, you know, obviously living on a different planet or you've been hard at work, we forgive you. North Adelaide are through to the Sandford Grand Final, Jars. The QC has ruled on it and says that the Eagles are going to have to suck it up.
Yes, Lulu.
Basically, 10 grand fine, 4 premiership points next season is what's been given North, but they are free to take on Norwood in this Sunday.
What are the footy fans saying? Because I think it'd be split, wouldn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. And it's a lot of stuff on Twitter, most of saying, we have the technology, why don't we use it? No final penalty to the player, no talk of the fourth umpire and their lack of professionalism leading to the situation. Yep. You've also got, what about the league-appointed interchange stewards? How come they didn't address it? Yeah. Give the Eagles 2 set shots that they missed for the win.
Yeah.
Get the best drinker from each team and have a drinking comp.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, it's different. The old boat race. Find that decision very hard to stop it happening again. I think the Eagles would gladly give up 10 grand and 4 points to be playing this weekend. And a few other bits coming through. I think that rule should have been amended years ago, Eric at H. Players clubs don't officiate games. Officials do. Eagles told the emergency umpire who said he couldn't do anything. Common sense should have prevailed here. The QC wanted a rematch, but said he didn't have the power to order
because it wasn't in the rules and regulation.
Yeah.
The Constitution.
Another one suggesting that they're a bit gutless, to say the least, and can't even offer up an apology.
Who should apologise? The Sandford or the North LA Football Club? Or...
Oh, well, I think the Roosters have openly admitted that they weren't trying to cheat and it was a mistake.
Yeah.
The apology should come from the Sandford for failing to pick it up. Yeah?
Agree.
Or the commission or someone.
No, because Sandford, yep.
The one who are paying the ultimate price are the Eagles. But as you would have heard if you caught Mick Godden's chat with us.
Spoke
fully,
very well.
Fully accepting of never should have been in the position.
A lot of
after
class,
having
Mick.
Led by so much. So
a lot of class. And I think they deserve some financial compensation too.
Well, I think they'll be going down that path.
Well, they need to.
I think because...
They need to.
Think of what you would get out of being in a grand final. Yep. You would get merchandise. You would get, I suppose, after party. You would sort of get... You know, all
25
those sort of
grand,
things.
50 grand around there.
Somewhere, I don't know what the figure is, but work out a compensation package for not being in it because they've
still not enough,
out.
Though.
No, it's not because it's you a chance to win a flag.
How hard do they get into the grand final? Crazy. Let alone win it.
Absolutely crazy. Right. So, a big thank you to everybody who's going hard on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right.
And let the family know who's going to be there on Sunday at Adelaide Oval, 2:30.
In case you missed it, let's be honest, we've been a little light on promotion around here. But the tradition continues. This Sunday at Adelaide Oval,
is it our fourth?
Triple M rocks the Sandford Grand Final.
Fourth time.
Putting the band back together, Blues Brothers style.
Yeah.
Yater's going to be there. I'm going to be there. The great man is returning to the scene of his crime, EJ Whitner style, Andrew Juice Newton Jarman. And
oh, wow.
Special comments from the big man himself, Mr. Turf Talk. Goes on his own. Sammy Jacobs, big sauce is joining
brilliant.
Us.
Brilliant. Brilliant, Luke. And you two could do some bit of turf porn talk at halftime.
Might even get Hoffy on to discuss the state of the pitch. Anyway, make sure if you want to catch all the action in a North Adelaide, Norwood Grand Final. And Eagles fans, don't tune out just because you're not in it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it'll be a great afternoon. Always is when we get together for the one and only game we do every year here on Triple M at the Sample. As the tradition continues, have we got our blazers yet?
Does 4 years qualify as a tradition?
Oh, Murph. It is thick. It is thick with tradition. I mean, we really need smoking jackets and a room with leather-bound couches and bookcases and everything else. We're a gentleman's
club. I need to be flown in by a chopper, honestly.
You need to do a reshuto. Come down on the zip wire. With the cup.
I'm thinking out
with the cup. Yeah, have your pills just coming out. Saying, which one's the ball? There's three. Supercoach Paul Roos.
For the people who have waited 72 years.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Here it is.
It's Paul Roos.
Yes, the Supercoach joins us and the demon fairy tale continues. So much so, Eddie Maguire was whipping the crowd into a frenzy, Roosy, post-game, getting the Roos chant up. I haven't heard that for 20 years.
Brilliant. Emotional was.
Yeah, no, you got a bit carried away up the game. No, look, we can see the fans around. They're having a great time. And yeah, to be at the MCG to see all the Melbourne supporters now rejoicing and getting there in such big numbers and all the jumpers and the kids wearing them, it's a really, really exciting time for the footy club.
I'll tell you what, two things that have impressed me, Roosie. One is Simon Goodwin and just the demeanour and the way he speaks and goes about it all. And the other one is Jack Viney. He's just unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, look, Goody was fantastic. I'd met him a lot. I met him, obviously, we had the first meeting about the coaching. We just came in. It was a pretty casual meeting with Todd Viney, Josh Marnie. And he was really impressive. He talked a lot about relationships and, yeah, you're right, he's very even temperament. We didn't talk much about game style. We just talked about how much he valued the relationships with the players. And we see that now. He's got a great bond with the player group. He's been there a few years now and he's really developed some fantastic relationships. So he's been terrific. And Jack Viney, I mean, he's just the ultimate pro. He works extremely hard at his game, his craft. And he's hard as nails. He really epitomised that footy club along with Nathan Jones.
But, Rizzi, just the impact for not having played any footy, I know it's a different time and it's a different conditioning process and they're ready to go, but just to step back into a tempo that is above the normal and to do what he does and have that impact, I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah, look, one of the things, I do get a little bit frustrated with the players now having so much time off, and it's very hard to get players to come in on their off days. Jack does it by himself. So Jack... I sort of laugh a little bit when people say players are full-time. They're not really full-time. Now, that's not to diminish anything they're doing. But Jack Viney is full-time. He sees himself as a full-time footballer that's dedicated to his craft. And as a result of that, Louis, he can come back from an injury as well as he does because he sees himself. That's what he does. That's his craft. And he leaves no stone unturned. And then we see the results that we've seen in the last 2 weeks.
Mate, how can Melbourne defeat West Coast Eagles at their home ground, knowing that they've had the week off and they'll be cherry ripe with their two key forwards ready to go?
Yeah, look, I think the fact they played them a number of weeks ago, I think also the fact that they played Hawthorn, I mean, they're similar game styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, West Coast want to keep the ball off. You want a reasonably slow game. I mean, Melbourne want a fast game, so it's going to be a contrasting style. You're right, probably the biggest concern is the big two key forwards, Darling and Kennedy, both. Darling got knocked out, Kennedy didn't play last time. But look, both teams, as you would think this time of year, are super confident. You know, Melbourne are really confident in their midfield group, you know, winning contested ball, putting so much pressure on the opposition. So I think both teams going with enormous amount of confidence. I mean, the X factor is the crowd, which was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's Collingwood the other week. So that's going to be the thing that's really challenging. Not only challenging for the players, but, I mean, we know that the umpires can be... rule of affirmation. I think it was plus 85 free kicks at home, and it's even away from home for the Eagles. That's certainly a factor, there's no question.
Roosie, the Giants had a tough run, did well to get where they got, but in the end, obviously probably could have won that game, to be honest. Leon Cameron, they've come for him a little bit in the sense that is he still the right man? I just question probably the last quarter in game style. The kick-to-handball ratio was 2-1 all night, and I think to beat Melbourne, you can't just blast back down the line and hope you're going to outnumber and run through them because, as you said, they play a quick brand of footy. They get numbers back and they go forth from out of halfback. So I thought maybe Leon or the boys, they got it wrong because I didn't see any switching or any corridor work in that last quarter.
Yeah, look, I think it's the body of work, Louis, really. You don't like to be too critical on a game, but they just haven't been able to produce a modern game style. They're low in forward half turnovers. They're low in time in forward half. Yeah, they're the indicators for Richmond and the Bulldogs the last 2 years and Melbourne, obviously, this year. They just haven't been able to get that game style going. So for me, it's not about this sort of the game. It's about their inability with that enormous amount of talent. And they've made some strides, even though they've gone backwards this year. They did have more injuries. But, I mean, they're better around the ball, but they just haven't been able to bed down a premiership-winning game style with an exceptionally talented team. So, look, I think Leon Cameron's done a really good job, but I reckon next year becomes a super, super critical year.
Jeremy Cameron, 7 goals in 5 finals. When he's up and about, they look like such a different team. When they beat Adelaide over here, Roosie, he had a real aggression about himself. I want to go get the footy. In Sydney the week before, he went up the ground, he found it. He's not quite, I don't know, is he a full forward? Does he need to go and play centre half forward? I just look at him and I go, with all those attributes, super quick, jump, can mark, can kick, he's just not having enough of an impact on a game of footy.
Yeah, I think he's the microcosm of the team, Louis, you're right, because I see him play... in patches of games really good, high quality AFL football. I see him chase down tackle every now and then, but again, those behaviours aren't bedded down.
Mm.
He just doesn't do that consistently enough. He should be a chase down tackler. He should be.
Mm.
You know, you look at Jack Rewald, the way he attacks the ball in the air all the time, comes yep. aboard at the ball, yep. brings the ball to ground, makes tackles. So again, he's probably indicative of that whole team where you see unbelievably good patches. You see the talent, but it's just not consistent enough over four quarters and over 23 weeks.
Roosey, there's an elephant in the room down at AFL House, the sliding rule. Oh. What an absolute bloody farce, and it needs to be fixed quickly.
Well, it's not the sliding rule anymore, Majars. It's the bending down to pick the ball up rule. I don't think that's the reason it was brought in. We all know that we don't want to see Gary Rowan incident. We don't want to see Lindsay Thomas slide into the leg. But surely you can pick the ball up off the ground yep. without someone kneeing in the head.
Yep.
I mean, the rule is completely changed from what it was brought in for. Mm. And I think they have to fix it in the off-season. I mean, you can't have guys... I don't know what... Some people say, oh, you know, you shouldn't be on your knees to pick the ball up. But if you're already on your knees, you have to get back up and then go back down to get the ball. I mean, it's just... It's a ludicrous... Oh, I thought they were two ridiculous decisions. Mm. Having said that, under the letter of the way they've written the rule, they were correct decisions. That's strange.
Another one I'm super impressed with, and well done on the D's too, opening up all 22 players to talk to the media. Some great stories, some great insight into a footy club. Conversely, Hawthorn, we barely got a blip out of. But Nev Jetta, tell me more about him.
Mm.
He's had more impact in two bumps in two games than most blokes have in a lifetime.
Oh, he's elite at the contest. He's an elite tackler. He's got a great step. I mean, we used to do tackling drills. No one could get around him and no one could catch him. So you've seen that the last couple of weeks when he nailed Selwood in a tackle. He bumped Tommy Mitchell fairly. He's just a hard, tough, competitive player. And I can't speak highly enough of him. He's just fantastic. And it's so good for Nev Jetta to be able to play in a preliminary final because he's worked so, so hard to get off the rookie list, to get on a senior list. And he really should be an All-Australian defender by now.
Absolutely. They stuffed that up.
On the selection committee. Yeah, they did.
Roosey, he reminds me of Byron Pickett, the way he plays.
Yeah, look, he's just so hard at the ball. And he's hard at the ball first, which is great. And then secondly, if he doesn't get to the ball first,
he hurts you.
He's able to make big, crunching, fair, legal tackles. So, look, you'd hate to play on him because he doesn't give you an inch. He tracks you down. He's got good speed. He's good in the air. Like his two finals have been exceptional.
And he's got good decision making with the ball too.
Yep.
Righto, Roosey, prelim finals. They're all sold out, which is great. And unbelievably, we're going to change the game. Richmond v Collingwood. Bucks' boys have been able to find a way. Been able to find a way all year with the key personnel missing. Nowhere to hide, though, when you get to prelim final. They're going to need everything to go right.
Yeah, they are. They're going to have to play for 120 minutes against the Tigers. I mean, you know that. The Tigers have been amazing at just, you know, playing games right through to the finish. And you're sort of within a goal or two goals at the 20-minute mark, and then you look at the scoreboard when the siren goes and you're 5 goals behind. So there's no doubt Collingwood got the game style to win, but can they do it for long enough? And I think that's the biggest challenge playing against the Tigers. So I think it's going to be a really, really good game, but I think the Tigers will just grind them down in the end and win late in the last quarter.
It looks, for all intents and purposes, Steve May is going to find his way somewhere down to Melbourne. What is he worth, Roosey, and where should he go? Which club would benefit the most, or he might actually stop off in Sydney. Which club would be the best fit for Steve May?
Well, certainly Collingwood have won, there's no doubt. I mean, Lyndon Dunn's ACL and Reed and Mark Darcy Moore have had a lot of injuries, so they really need a key position defender. And I'm a big Stephen May fan. I think he's a terrific player. So I think Collingwood would certainly be one. Hawthorn would be another one. Sydney, absolutely. But look, he's worth more than the first-round draft pick. There's no question about that. So I think it's debate around what's he worth. Oh, I think the Suns need players, though. They don't need any more draft picks. You know, if they get another 10 young kids into their footy club, they're going to be another 5 years away from being successful because we've seen that Melbourne-based clubs poaching the Suns players. So, look, it's probably a first-rounder. You try and get a first-rounder and a couple of good players are going to stay up there and contribute to your footy club.
Do you share the same concerns about Sean Burgoyne as Jonathan Brown does? And I probably do a little bit.
Look, you're prepared to give him a little bit of leeway because he's certainly looked good all year, hasn't he? I mean, is it just a couple of bad games, which is unusual for Sean Burgoyne? So, look, I think he deserves another year. Look, I think there's going to be some concerns if you see this sort of form, you know, round 2, 1, 2, 3, 4 next year. But Look, by all accounts, he seems like just the sort of guy you want around your footy club. I don't think he's going to be a troublemaker if his form drops off and he has to go to Box Hill or retires during the season. He seems like an outstanding person. So, yeah, I've a little bit of concern about his form, but not the fact that he's got another year.
Buddy, before we let you go, congratulations to your son. Won the grand final for Southport there in the Neefle. Now, your lovely wife, Tam, who looked after me back in the Esther year, what's she doing in a wet T-shirt competition? What the hell happened to
Tam? That's what happens on the Gold Coast, Rizzy, doesn't it?
Paul? Yeah. That's not like Tam.
Very, very unfortunate. A couple of young boys, Tommy Wilkinson, Jack O'Shea, had the Gatorade bucket, were chasing the coach around.
Nice. Yeah.
The coach was a little bit too agile, and then they dumped the whole bucket on Tammy. So, wrong place, wrong time. Oh, no. And it was pink Gatorade, she had white pants on. So, needless to say, the boys are very, very sheepish after they dumped the Gatorade bucket on her.
Did you just pull her aside and say, come on, honey, look, we're high profile, we can't have this sort of stuff going on.
Oh, look, she did. She was very, very good. She handled it really well. She had to go back to the hotel and change. She's now got pink jeans instead of white jeans.
Is she receiving a lot of calls from the night spots like players and that to maybe come along and be a part of it?
You need to rest up. You're losing your voice, mate. You've had too many Ozone Cokes.
We got a bit rowdy on Sunday. Sunday night had a few Ozone Cokes, so you're just recovering.
All right, mate. Well, can't wait to see what happens this week in a couple of great prelim finals. All the best from a Melbourne perspective. And again, thanks for your insight.
Good on you guys. Thanks.
Now, Lou, you had an interesting day with the kiddies on Sunday down at Glenelg, yeah?
Yeah. City Bay.
Now,
yes.
Don't tell me, I'm hearing there may be another incident that's occurred over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, well.
Am I on the money?
You sort of are. And it falls under that segment that I've only done once on this show. Does anyone else do this or react like this?
What's happened, Lou?
Like, jaywalkers.
Oh, yes.
Like, now, granted, it was City Bay, and there's a lot of people around.
Yes, they are.
All right, but the person involved in the soon-to-be-mentioned incident wasn't a runner, so, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm driving around looking for a park.
Right. And you got the three kids in the back.
Yeah, they're on the car, South Glenelg side of Jetty Road, trying to get it. Obviously, my normal car park at the back of the ground there is not happening.
Because Anne did the 6K.
She did it. So there's this lady who pulls out. So the kids, I'm cruising along. And from way out, she can see that we're coming, and we're doing 40 tops.
Yeah. She's
walking on a 45 to cross the road.
Yeah.
Now, early on, when she's on the other side of the road, so the right-hand road, imagine we're driving towards the city and to Jetty Road.
Yeah.
She has a quick look, and she sees us.
No.
What really gets me going in this situation is that they look, but then they don't give themselves the hurry up. You know, all you want, I always do this, if I know a car's coming, I get a little trot up, just get myself and even almost an apologetic
because
way.
Because you consider it.
If I've held you up. Yeah. Well, so this lady, she looks well out and then doesn't look again, refuses to look.
Oh, no.
Doesn't turn left or right, no heck to the traffic cat, no nothing going on here.
Not
Like, it's three kids in the car. Yeah. Like, and in the end, I almost clip her.
Oh, no.
All right. So, natural reaction, hit the window.
No, when you go there, what age group are we talking?
Probably my age group.
Mid, late 40s?
Mid to late 40s.
Maybe. So she had the awareness about her.
Absolutely.
She was sharp.
But, and then, so almost, so I then just give her a quick, quick toot. Geez, what are you doing?
Are you a tutor?
A tutor, I am a tutor. But this one was a good toot, Yeah, not this wasn't a double hand like I do in the Merc sometimes and just load
it was just like fast
up.
Hands too.
I was in Angie's car, so just a little like beep.
So like
I have to say, hey,
bang.
Show a little bit of effort. All I wanted was a little bit of effort.
Wake up, Nelly.
A little bit of effort.
Yeah.
She then replied with a little bit of turn, caught my eye.
Oh, no.
With an arm gesture.
Did you get the bird or just an arm?
No, just as if to say, what are you doing? So that's when the window went.
Oh, no. Now, three kiddies in the car.
Yeah, I just reminded her of her responsibilities when crossing the road and that she was to be set. She was, if she didn't know it, setting an example for my three children in my car of how not to cross the road.
Are you paraphrasing that?
Yeah. And then she said something back, well, again, to the effect of, well, you know, what's your problem, so-and-so? Which I then may have replied.
In aggressive manner?
No, not aggressive. Okay. Controlled. In
do you have an early warning system to your kids prior to you exploding?
Yeah, it's almost.
As if it's a little like, all right.
It's almost a bit like old school where
block them.
Shut them down.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't driving, I would have covered all three kids' sets of ears.
Kids, yeah. Lock it down.
Do this, kids. La, 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 la. So I gave her a little bit of
tirade.
My native
Did
tongue.
Did you give her on your Oh, Louis' native tongue.
For those who know the show probably know what that is.
Oh, we've all been through it.
She then tried to use the you've got your kids in the car technique to shame
they
me.
They all use that one.
I mean, she clearly unaware of what she was dealing with. Boy. And I said, I know, they've heard worse. Now move on. But can I bring it back to the fact is she didn't look at all. She had one look way out and did not look at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just really grates me that I have to slow down for you.
Mm.
I'm in a 1,000-ton vehicle that if it gets you,
a monster.
It is game over.
Yeah.
You know, if I get distracted by three children in my car.
And it could have easily happened.
Or a park becomes available where I've just got to react like a cat.
And like how you played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or then all of a sudden you're in strife, lady, because you have taken the laissez-faire attitude of a Sunday stroll on a street as opposed to a footpath.
Was she walking with anyone?
No.
On her own?
On her own.
Just to greet her friend.
And, you know, if I hadn't had the kids, it would have been an easy kill. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Honestly, you know
they're not
like,
ready to see that kind of...
So in order...
Right. So what happened at the end?
What I've worked out now, nothing. Yeah. I just drove off and got a park. and just hope like hell I ran into her a bit later, but I didn't. So now my order of just what really gets me.
Yeah.
Number one, my car park here at work.
Yeah, okay.
That will set me off just like that.
This is good.
Number two, jaywalkers. Honestly.
That's it. Lock them in.
If I could get somebody to manufacture for my vehicles, you know, like in Top Gun, Tom Cruise, a little missile lock and load, that if I could get on it, so at least I got the noise going in my car. Beep, 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 beep.
Okay.
That, I think that might appease me, Jack.
Car park jaywalkers are locked in.
That's my
that
top
will set
two.
You off.
Yeah, right now.
We need one more. We've got to have a top three.
Probably
for
you when you're not listening.
Oh, dang.
Charles, we've got a little update on the Sandful happenings and the what the Eagles are potentially going to do.
Yeah, just come in, Lou, that the financial ramifications are very, very, very big for the West Torrens Football Club. So CEO Kurt Slavens has confirmed that they'll be seeking compensation. He's not the CEO, he's the chairman of the football club. Have confirmed they'll be seeking compensation from the Sandful regarding last Sunday's
the lost
saga.
Revenues that would have been raised if they'd been in a grand final.
What's that, $25.50?
We don't really know, but I think it's fair.
I agree.
I really do.
Absolutely agree with that.
Yeah,
they deserve that.
It's one of
those
things.
You go. Just news come in.
Beautiful. And make sure you're listening to the catch-up tour. Go to triplem.com.au. A chat with Mickey Godden.
Mm.
The Eagles coach.
Very
really
good.
Classy.
He's so
really
professional. Classy, I wish him well.
Righto, how's this? The A-League is really trying to engage new fans.
Okay.
So obviously we've got your traditional diehard football fan who'd love to go and sing and carry on. But they're thinking of a big bashification.
Well, how are they going to do A-League? That, Lou?
Well, and this is where I don't get safe smoke from flares in stands.
What?
What is it with the infatuation of flares?
They just love it.
Fan zones modelled on the World Cup. I like that. Lights and music during play are all on the agenda jar, all right? Because what they're trying to do is they had a poor year last year with crowds and television audiences on a little downer.
Mm-hmm.
So the man that's in charge of all this is A-League head Greg O'Rourke, and he's adamant the new bells and whistles will be no substitute for what the sport does best, and that is the singing and supporting from the stands.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what he's trying to get, and this is what they're talking about, and this is really controversial. Mm. A couple of ones have already tried the safe smoke flares over at Central Coast and in Wellington.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're now looking to play music with accompanying video during goal kicks, corners, and substitutions.
Wow.
It's good. They're having a crack because they reckon fans want more pre-game entertainment, more in-game entertainment, and more at halftime. But isn't that just an admission that it's not exciting and what's happening on the pitch?
Yeah, because it's 90 minutes.
So they says football globally, and this is I think where you're heading, has about 30 minutes when the ball is stopped or out of play out of that 90. That,
you know that's my bugbear with football. I can't stand it.
So some of those gaps can be filled, but not at the big derbies where the fans are really into it. But, I mean... music while there's goal kicks, corners. I mean, substitutions absolutely when it stopped. A bit of tunes in the background. But again, an admission that your product is not that attractive.
because the crowds have plateaued the last 3 or 4 or 5 years in A-League football, haven't they? They haven't really improved.
But what is that due to? Not enough entertainment.
I think it's the product.
Or the product, as in the talent on the pitch.
I think the product's just dropped off. The quality of football's dropped off.
Because I would argue with you, and we love the Reds. And
we love goals.
We've signed on again.
We want goals kicked.
We need a high-end quality product.
Correct.
And you would have to say it's dipped a little bit in terms of the standard.
Well, I think it has. And obviously, they're trying to find new fan base.
Yeah.
Why don't they just light up the goals? When the ball hits the back of the net, that whole goal,
the zinger goals.
Yeah, why not?
The stumps.
Why not?
I mean, the technology could happen. I mean,
that'd be great to see that in the back of the net. It just lights up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, but we're already getting excited when it goes in the back of the net. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're trying to add the extras. So what they're saying, and they're right, there's 30 minutes of downtime.
They got to fix that
in the 90s.
They got to fix that up.
So how do you fix that? That's the big question. Mm. And is music and entertainment and things on big screen a way to do it?
Is it coming in? Is it definitely being signed off? They're going to trial it.
Try it in the first month. See how it goes. I mean,
we've got a great relationship with our boys, Adelaide United.
See, I would suggest if you want in-game entertainment.
Oh, I know where this is going.
You can't go past the streaker. You can't, can you? I mean,
let him go.
Catches the attention. And leave him for 25 seconds.
And let him get around four or five guards.
And let the guards play dumb and dead for a while. Do you know what I'm saying?
Busy Tuesday.
Certainly
interesting
was.
Tuesday.
Absolutely. What we should have done.
I'm a bit tired.
Should be able to happen.
Yeah.
Can we organise to shout some froths for the Eagles boys, who will no doubt be having a few beers?
Well, we get some froffy.
We should send a case down there for them, wherever they are or something. We should just say, hey, feeling for you.
Well done. Yep.
Have a couple of beers on us, and just a real tough one to take, but hopefully we can get through it.
We'll get the credit card off Roo.
Yeah.
He's got all the money around here, isn't he?
Let's just send them to the Elmo themselves. Just put it on Roo's account.
See you tomorrow, family.
Have a great night. You were out 8 seconds early.
It's pretty good for him.
It's a North Adelaide thing.
No, it's not.
Fit more of what you love into the new Tiguan All-Space 7-seat SUV at Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranelagh.